This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.tv on this September 17th, 2022. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. Teeing off today with me is Oscar Garner III. Oscar Gamer has the weekend off. I'll tell a little behind-the-scenes story there in a few. Anyways, we get this show launched, and it's a lot easier to do the show this week than last week. And we'll talk about that in case you missed it last week. We are in the midst of what we think was a tropical storm. At least it felt that way on the corner of 13th and Central
fighting
here.
For our lives down there.
Yeah, I stuck it out. You guys went undercover. Share the story so they know where we're going.
Go ahead.
Anyway, we're here at Ferg's in our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We're out back today. We're looking at Tropicana Field because at 4:10 it is game day. It is first pitch as they take on the Texas Rangers after a disappointing loss last night. And 4:10, very important contest today at 4:10 as they try to hold on to that third position in the playoff standing. Anyway, we'll talk more about that on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and at 12 to 2 hours. Right now, as I say, we're about a driver away for John Rieger. It's probably a driver and a pitching wedge and a putt for a birdie. He'll be on in about 10 minutes. He's up there in Crescent Beach, Florida. And, of course, each and every Saturday, we try to bring you PGA champions, LPGA, LIV. See how I inserted that in there, my man? And we're going with collegiate and high school. Coming a little bit later in the fall and, of course, in the spring. We're in the Mecca of golf, and welcome to the show on this Saturday. It's been a hectic week from a technology perspective. We had a lightning strike at our control tower in Clearwater. The boys worked their tails off. They got us up and running. I want to thank Matt. I want to thank Ed. I want to thank John, all the boys up in Clearwater. We had some issues over here on Radio St. Pete. It's the technology. I blame it on this stinking rain. Why did we move here, man?
I don't know, because this is a Mecca, golf Mecca, right?
I mean, I will still take this over Iowa, and you still take it over Michigan weather any day of the week.
Any day of the week that isn't the first week of August.
Oh, it's been tough for everybody. On the Tee Florida Order, as I said, is archived on RadioSt.Pete.com, and soon our own sports channel, The Stream, and we've tested it a couple times, so it's ready to roll. We'll be launching a lot of different productions. We'll talk more about that. On the Tee Florida Golf Report, of course, we'll be on there with our good friend John Rieger. But we're streaming live, but we're also on our flagship, WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa Clearwater, St. Pete, along with WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350 at Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. And you know what a redheaded stepchild is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The game of golf during football season. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not on one network.
Non-playoff baseball during the first weeks of football. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's sad because there's some good golf going on. Right now, there's the Champions event is in God's country, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Don't laugh. Detroit City. Hey, I can walk the streets of Sioux Falls and not worry about getting stabbed, shot, rolled.
Bison might roll you over. I don't know.
That's out west. Anyway, it's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's the Sanford International. And I'll tell you what, the guy at Sanford, he has a medical billionaire, and he loves the game of golf. He convinced these greats. There's Hall of Famers through the entire field today. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's the biggest thing in the state all year long, a state of 900,000. But that's on it, some great golf. You've got the PGA Tour. This is the last year of the wraparound. We'll talk a little bit about that. The only really great thing about that, it's in Napa, California, if you like a little vino. You got the LPGA, and that's in Portland. And then the LIV is in the Windy City in Chi-Town.
There's
a lot of golf,
they're
man.
In Chicago?
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
Where are they playing? Where is Medina at? Is Medina?
They're not playing in Chicago. I mean, they're playing in Chicago. I'll give you the course here in a second. Anyway, let's go over the leader. You go over the leaderboard.
All right, we got the PGA leaderboard. Is it the Fortinet? Or is it well, how do you pronounce this?
It's not Fortinet.
What is that?
You're an educated Michigan State grad, and you can't pronounce
they didn't
that?
Teach us how to read. I know how to
Fortinet.
Do math. Fortinet. That's what I said. I said Fortinet.
You,
all right, look.
It's in Napa, so you can call it Fortinet.
Fortinet.
The Fortinet Championship.
My pinky in the air?
Don't worry.
Lemon in
he
my water?
He writes down everything we do that's an error.
I can't wait.
And then he does his John Rieger editing.
The Fortinet. So we're in the Fortinet Championship. Silverado Resort and Spa. The North Course. $8 million on the line for these guys. It's actually pretty competitive right now. So we got Max Homa, who is leading the leaderboard right now. He's at minus 12. We have Danny Willett, who's at minus 12, so they're tied for first right now. Justin Lower.
Good job.
Thank you. Minus 10. These are some names I'm not as familiar with.
That's because these are the guys that...
are these the redheaded stepchilds?
These are the redheaded stepchilds of PGA. But they've got their cards.
They're getting more shine now.
Don't slide them. These events go towards FedEx points, so don't... That's why I said golf is the redheaded stepchild this time of year in the world of sport.
So the redheaded stepchild's getting some shine right now.
Especially when you're around, you talk NBA. You talk NBA before these guys. I don't even know why you're on a freaking golf show.
That was Alex. I put him on an island for that one. All right, look. Byung Hun An is at
nice work again. Did you major? You majored in finance, obviously.
Yeah.
Not.
We had a lot of foreign exchange. We had a lot of foreign exchange students.
Well, work on your foreign delivery, will you?
All right. Minus 10, tied for third right now.
Okay, you don't even you caddied for years. You played a lot of golf. Not minus anymore. 10 under. 10 5 under. We'll have this little...
People say minus.
No, they don't. Rieger will correct this on this one, too. 10 under sounds like we know what we're doing. We know we don't know what we're doing, but we want the audience to think we do. 10 under.
8 under.
Great work.
It's Taylor Moore right now, bringing up fifth place. And we have Matt Kuchar, who's tied right now at eight under, tied for fifth right now.
A finance guy. You like the pluses and the minus. That's why. I'll give you an out.
Thank you. The other notable name is Ricky Fowler, 5 under. He's tied for 16th. It's a pretty tight field right now. Everybody's within 4 strokes of the lead within the top 10. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm placed through the weekend. LPGA next.
Yes, sir. The CL Nelly Korda from Bradenton.
So the LPGA is out in Portland this weekend. The ladies are playing for, looks like, $3.5 million on the line. I'm going to need some help with these names. Esther Henselet.
Nice.
10 under. Lilia Vu, 10 under. Carlota Seganda, 9 under. Andrea Lee, 8 under, and Daniela,
come on.
8 man. Under.
Okay, that's far enough down. Find Nelly Korda. That's all I care about at this point.
All right, let's see. Nelly Korda. Not in the top 20.
K-O-R-D-A.
Minus 8, 4 under. 4 under at tied for 26 right now. All should right. be tying teeing off soon.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
All right. And then I'll dive into, of course, these are all brought to you by our good friends at Shrimpy's Waterfront. We're at 12 o'clock today at Shrimpy's. There will be the Georgia Bulldog, South Carolina Gamecock game watch. We've got our own game watches down here at Ferg's. We'll talk about that in the next hour. But don't forget to get out to Shrimpy's. It's right there on Sunset Beach. And it's our new, it's our beach clubhouse studios. That's how I like to identify. And then, of course, Big Storm Brewery, another supporter of On the Tee, Florida. Let's go to the DP World Italian Open. There's some notables on this. You know, there's a lot of controversy with LIV, DP World Tour, Italian Open. But Rory McIlroy, who's been red hot, 9 under. Matt Fitzpatrick is 8 under. Tom Lewis, 700. I got the nice names, the easy ones. Terrell Hatton, 6 under. Let's see. Any notable? Luke Donald, haven't heard from him for quite some time. He's 5 under, and that's your DP World Italian Open. I bet that's a blast in Italy. And then the Champions Tour, as I said, and the Minnehaha Country Club. I've actually played that course 100 years ago and 100 beers in me.
Minnehaha?
Minnehaha.
So small laugh country club.
Listen, it's Lakota country, which is actually Sioux Indian native. Okay? Sioux Falls, Sioux City, you know, God's country. Minnehaha.
Does God's country have Wi-Fi?
Minnehaha Country Club. They probably had to put some towers
some
in
towers
it.
Towers up.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, $2 million purses, you said. Short course. Robert Carlson, 8 under. Darren Clark, I love Darren Clark because there's always a great party in the house after he has a victory. And then Kevin Sutherland, the Big Easy, Ernie Els, 6 under. Bernhard Langer, 6 under. Stevie Flesch. There's a lot. Rocco Media, he's at 6 under. He played a little college golf, I believe, at FAU. We'll clarify that with John next. And then let's see, Padraig Harrington. Here's a cool story about Padraig Harrington. Not Padraig, Padraig. Padraig Harrington.
I think it's Padraig.
It's Padraig Harrington. Ooh. Trust me, I had a board op one time, and I allowed him, he didn't know anything about golf, to read the leaderboards. He was leading the British Open. He goes, and Padraig Harrington.
Padraig.
Leading the Open. You will never do that again. Anyway, Padraig Harrington, who's there, so is Miguel on LM, and they're going to have a great party afterwards. JD, John Daly's there. Davis Love III preparing for the President's Cup, and he's got a couple of his co-captains. But Padraig Harrington, who doesn't even drink, he's Irish. He bought every caddy out there around on Thursday for their practice round. Now, that's pretty cool, in my opinion.
I'd appreciate it as a caddy. I never got around. Facebook, so we'll be pairing up with John Rieger, our man in the field, to get that to you.
All right, we are brought to you by, as I said, well, you know what, you were talking about doing stories, and I am, I'm kind of interested in some of the stories that I've been digging up. John Daly had a groin injury. Did you see this one? Did I send it to you?
Was this golf related?
It was his.
I doubt it.
His L2 nerve.
Did he get it at Hooters?
Which is tied to your groin area, apparently.
Okay.
So he was in a lot of pain. Let's just say that. And but he's at a press conference. People kept saying he's grabbing his junk, essentially. I said, "You all right?" He goes, "Ah, man." I can say this on the air. I checked it. I feel like I just got kicked in the nuts. And I was like, oh, my God. I tell you what, only JD.
Was this off of an event? What was he doing? Was he trying to play? Or?
This is 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
He screwed up his back. But the L2, apparently, is tied to
the groin area.
To the groin area. And
he messed up his back, and now he feels like he got kicked in the nuts.
And it hurt terribly, apparently. We'll be taking a break here in 5 minutes, so I'm going to fill a little time here. Okay, so another thing, which is great news next year, Annika Sorenstam, she's going to launch an LPGA event in 2023 at the Pelican Golf Club. The Annika driven by Gainbridge at Pelican, and we'll be at that. That's a great LPGA event every year, and I'm looking forward to that. Okay, let's go. I believe John Rieger's with us. We're working on...
Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, success!
Hey, we made it through. Well, you know, I'm not at Crested Beach this week. I'm actually up in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Queen City, doing a little advance work for the President's Cup next week. President's Cup starts on the 20th, early in the week, but it's a four-day competition that starts actually next Thursday for the formal rounds of golf, and it's at the Quail Hollow Club, which has hosted the 2017 PGA Championship and many tour events. Most recently, the Wells Fargo Championship is the one that is most people remember, but they've hosted the PGA Tour off and on for the last 30 years or so, and it's a wonderful venue. The fan shop just opened today. And there's a lot of buzz in the air, you know, and I don't know for our listeners out there, if they're not familiar with the President's Cup, very similar to the Ryder Cup, but what they do, instead of just playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matches like the Ryder Cup, they actually play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So what they do is they open up on Thursday with five matches that they call it four ball, which is the best ball of foursome. You know, a lot of people get confused with the difference between what a four ball is and a foursome is. Well, a four ball is where you take, it's two golfers playing other two golfers, and they play the best ball. So they play match play via best ball. So the lowest score of the either two golfers on each side counts per hole. And then you have foursomes, which is really, really difficult. It's two golfers playing two other golfers, right? So you have the international team playing the U.S. team. But what happens is they have alternate shots. I mean, it's pure alternate shots, too. They decide who's going to tee off on the first hole, and then they alternate from there. And so what happens is that Thursday, it's a lot of fun, especially the foursomes. And international players sometimes seem to have an advantage in the foursome format because they have a little bit more camaraderie. You know, the international players, a lot of them from Europe and even now from Asia, they travel a lot together. They play a lot together. But the world has kind of changed with the LIV Golf and those kind of things. So you have a lot of players on both teams that, you know, really aren't close to each other at all. You know, it's the PGA Tour and the international tours. It's a very selfish game. Even though you have good friends out there, you still have to every man for themselves. Friday, they play foursomes and four ball again. And then Saturday, they play foursomes and four ball. But then Sunday, and this is always the day the American players are, you know, have an advantage, is it's singles. It's head-to-head, one-on-one. You know, they play hole by hole. So that's the President's Cup coming up. It's at a beautiful place called Quail Hollow. And again, you know, I was talking about Quail Hollow. I was talking about the golf course itself. And, yeah, I can tell you that it does have a long history. And I was telling you about the Wells Fargo Championship. And there's a lengthy list of players who are very prominent that have won there and played there. So Max Homa, who is a captain's choice for the American side, well, he won the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow in 2019. So, and he's playing very well this week up at the Fortinet Championship up there. So, who knows? You know, he's hot. He's coming out there good. Now, interesting enough, they had a senior tour event there at Quail Hollow. They called it the World Seniors Invitational, and the last one to win was Hurricane Hugo in 1989 because it wiped out the whole tournament. But Gary Players won that tournament. Doug Sanders, Miller Barber, so some very notable people. And then if you go back to the old days, they used to call it the Kemper Open, and so the you have the old folks, some of the Hall of Famers, Tom Weisskopf and Raymond Floyd, and you also have a guy named Dale Douglas, who was one of the great players, especially on the Champions Tour. So Quail Hollow is a wonderful event. I mean, a wonderful host to host events. And again, I can tell you that they did host the 2017 PGA Championship. So with all that in mind,
Let's move on now. If we want to talk a little bit more.
Can we take a quick two-minute break since we had a little issue there? We'll take a quick two-minute break. We'll come back, and we'll get you rolling for another half hour. How's that sound?
Hey, that's fantastic. Hey, let's take care of our sponsors out there.
You're the man, brother. All right, we're going to take a break here on the T Florida. My man Matt up in the studio taking care of business as we finally get everybody on the same page, including the big old Oscar Garner,
the gamer.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the T Florida.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Take time this September 11th to remember those who lost their lives and those who continue to fight for ours. Our sponsor, Kurt McIntyre Plumbing of St. Petersburg, is family-owned and exclusively serving St. Petersburg with 20 years of quality and pride. Whether it's that annoying dripping faucet or an emergency pipe repair, if you're located in St. Petersburg, call 727-687-0404. Visit Kurt McIntyre Plumbing, LLC.com. Kurt McIntyre Plumbing, on the air in remembrance of September 11th.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, and John Rieger up in Charlotte. Doing a little preview of the President's Cup next week. And don't know if you heard the opening, John, but I did say that it's kind of sad with such great golf, a lot of great golf taking place right now, that golf's kind of the redheaded stepchild when it comes to broadcasting and the world of sports conversation.
Yeah, I was doing a little research. I found this on the Bleacher Report because I was wondering, well, how many PGA Tour players have red hair? All right, well, that's not quite a stat that you can easily find out there, but the Bleacher Report came up with something like the top 15 athletes of all time that had red hair, and the best golfer of all time with red hair, and it's hard for me to believe. I don't remember his hair being red, but it probably is. It's Tom Watson. So, you know, there's only 2% of the whole population in the world has red hair, so it's not like it's a common thing. So if you were just going to do one of those algorithm models like they do on climate change or something, you could assume there's four players out there on the PGA Tour that have red hair, but that kind of shocked me. I'm going to have to break out my magnifying glass and see what's going on out there. He didn't strike me as a redheaded golfer, but he probably is.
What about that, as I call him, Colin Ballin Montgomery? He seemed a little reddish.
Yeah, I think he's more of a blonde hair guy. You know, his... you know, I always enjoyed watching him play because, you know, he's got a little unorthodox swing, but it's pure, you know, and he's always had a little belly. He looked like the rest of us who play golf. But I think the greatest nickname that he got assigned to him was Mrs. Doubtfire. So he's always pretty grumpy when it came to playing golf, but that was kind of funny. Hey, I got a quick story for you about the President's Cup. I was listening to this the other day with Freddie Couples. Freddie Couples, I think it's like 2009, somewhere around there, he was the captain of the President's Cup team. And so what each captain does that year, they do it every time. In case a player gets injured, you know, during the competition that week, you have to put a name of before the competition begins of one of your players on both sides. You put it in a sealed envelope, and then you give it to the main rules official. And so what happens is, let's say somebody went down, and this happened to Steve Pate one year. He got in an automobile accident at the tournament. And so he had to sit out. So what they did is they had to, you know, the other captain had a name in that envelope, and that's the person that had to sit out too. So everything's still equal up. So the injury doesn't do it. So Fred put his name in the envelope, and the other captain put his name in there. Well, it turned out that, they won that year. And Tiger Woods was on the team, obviously, that year, 2009. And so they were all celebrating, you know, and having a few cocktails and champagne and celebrating their big win. And the head rules official came on in, and Fred says, "Hey, everybody, you want to know whose name is in that envelope?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, which player would, you know, which player's name would be drawn out of the hat in case some of the other players got injured?" They were all very curious about it, very curious. So the guy opens up the envelope in front of everybody, and the name he was going to sit out was Tiger Woods. And Tiger was like, he couldn't believe it. He just could not believe he was the guy going to be asked to be sitting out. So it turns out that actually so Freddie Couples let this go for a couple years. And it turned out, 2 years later, he decided to reveal it at the next President's Cup and said he actually snuck in to the rules official's office, opened up the envelope, and slipped his name in there, and then took the other guy's name out. And so he actually staged the whole thing. And so for years, Tiger was just like looking at Freddie like, "Dude, come on, are you kidding me?" So that was one of my favorite President's Cup stories.
A little levity is always good before a pressure-packed event like that.
Now, this Quail Hollow Golf Club, it's in immaculate condition right now, and the whole golf community is gearing up. You know, Charlotte, North Carolina is a beautiful place. They call it the Queen City. But golf up here this is a great time of year, too. This morning, I stepped outside to have my morning cup of coffee, and it was like 60 degrees outside. I realized I didn't pack a sweater. So this is beautiful fall golf weather up here, big time golf community. You know, if you look at the standings here, it's going to be a formidable, very close contest. I know there was some controversy with players not being able to play because of the LIV golf. But Trevor Immelman, he's the captain. He was former Masters champion. He's from South Africa. So he's got Hideki Matsuyama, Sungjae Im, Tom Kim, Corey Connors, Mito Pereira, Adam Scott, Taylor Pendrith, Sebastian Munoz, Siwoo Kim, Cam Davis, Christian Benjua, and K.H. Lee. So a lot of Asian players on there, but all these players have played pretty well this year. Now, you know, Davis Love III is our captain, so obviously successful Ryder Cup captain. He's the captain of the President's Cup. Patrick Hanley, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, Cameron Young, Billy Horschel, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Kisner, Jordan Spieth, and Max Hoban, like I was talking about, is playing really well this week and has won up at Quail Hollow. So I look at the American team. I look like they've got to just blow this one out and win it. I mean, they're all, each one of them has played well this past year and is playing well right now. So should be an interesting thing. You know, it'll be televised, a lot of Golf Channel activity, obviously. You probably have a little NBC on Sunday afternoon with it. Hey, in between kickoffs and punt returns and bratwurst and 16-ounce draft craft beer, you want to plug it in or set your DVRs to record it. It's hard to compete against football. But again, Quail Hollow, the Charlotte community is ready for this tournament. They've been working on it for years. You can even commute to the tournament. You don't have to drive your car. They've made it really easy to get around. Hey, you know, we need to move on now to the LIV golf event. It is in Chicago, Mike. It is in Chicago. Let me do a little cleanup on aisle three here. The name of the golf course is called Rich Harvest Farms. And it's a wonderful golf venue. Now, they have hosted the Palmer Cup, which is the big-time tournament that you have the collegiate players playing against each other, the Western Amateur. You know, Chicago's home of the Western Golf Association. The Western Open itself, that is, was a PGA Tour event, which is now they made it a FedEx Cup Tour event. But it used to be one of the big majors. So you know, before World War II, that was one of the major championships in Chicago. So there's a rich history of golf in Chicago. So not that, excuse me, LIV Golf is replacing the PGA Tour in any way, shape, or form with their tournament to be the, you know, for the Western Open. But, you know, again, Chicago is a very rich place steeped in golf tradition.
Western Open used to be a big event on the tour.
Yes, it was. So right now it's kind of interesting when I look at the field and I look at the results so far. It's pretty interesting where you know, Dustin Johnson is continuing his unbelievably great play, and you know, shot 9 under par first round, and his team, the Four Aces, is such a they're winning all the team money. I mean, Pat Perez, I looked at the leaderboard, and he's like in last place, but he's on the Four Aces team. He's won like $2.5 million just being on the team. So when you see him celebrate on stage at the end with the champagne, you know, you can't fault him for that, man. What a team to be on, you know, have just you know, Dustin Johnson to be your captain. But so LIV Golf is doing well. It's just outside Chicago again. Their next venue will actually be early next month in Bangkok, Thailand. So I think this is the last time you'll see them in the country until they go to Trump Doral later in the year. But looks like you know, all the big names are starting to play well out there. You know, they're all starting to shoot low scores and compete against each other. So it looks like they're getting their stuff together, and they're playing well. And you know, again, now LIV Golf, it just cannot stay out of, it's just so controversial, just can't stay out of the news. The latest thing is with the Masters, they haven't decided yet whether LIV Golf will, players will be allowed to play in the Masters or not. So we'll see what happens on that.
John, yep. It's interesting you say that, because I'm looking at the list, and I've been the one reading a lot of these leaderboards over these past, you know, couple months. And it seems like we've hit an inflection point. I mean, I'm looking at Dustin Johnson, I'm looking at Cam Smith, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia. I mean, I'm looking at all these names. The Koepka brothers are in here. Patrick Reed, Kevin Na. You know, when we cycle back to golf next year, when it's not the redheaded stepchild of the sports cycle, what's new here? I mean, I think we're going to be paying a lot more attention. The controversy is going to die down. These guys are still going to be playing golf on this tour. You know, are we going to be paying more attention to this?
Well, you will, because I believe in 2023 that there's at least 20 events planned now, maybe 22, somewhere in that area. And then they have planned to take that team event and not repurpose it, but refocus it on where, you know, throughout the year really does mean even more as a team concept. And that's one of the things about golf, especially professional golf. Used to be that, you know, team events, the only team events you'd have like the Ryder Cup or, you know, Walker Cup and those kind of things. For years over in the Orlando area at the Walt Disney World, they used to have the National Team Championship, and there was a couple old folks from Tampa, one's deceased, Team Rephraim, and the other, Jim Colbert, who won multiple times on the PGA Tour and on the Champions Tour. They won that, I remember, like 1976 or so. And so team events always been kind of a thing where it's not really the focus of golf. You know, golf's an individual game. But, you know, people love team golf. I mean, even ourselves, when we go out and play golf, we love to play on a scramble team or a best ball. It gives us the illusion that, you know, we could go out there and our partners can carry us around the golf course, that kind of thing. But the team event's kind of fun because now you root for each other. The PGA Tour has the one team event that they play in New Orleans every year. They created the PGA Tour event at New Orleans to become a team event. So team events are fun. You know, it's still not what you would call traditional golf. It's still kind of, and it's not a silly season thing because golfers really like it, but there is a lot of silly season team events that go on out there. When I say silly season, that used to be the wraparound season that we were talking about earlier in the show where, you know, in the fall, the PGA Tour, this is the last year they're going to do that wraparound season where now the first week of the 2023 season, it just started. You know, we just got through with it. Now it just started again. That'd be like Major League Baseball. As soon as they finish up in October, November, they're playing baseball again. You know, and that's always been a, you know, sometimes a complaint of overexposure with football. like, okay, Super Bowl's over, now you got XFL or you got the USFL. You know, so sometimes people get a little tired of that. It gets oversaturated. So I think LIV Golf, what they're trying to do with their team event is actually, you know, make it where, you know, it keeps everybody in the game. What if somebody's out there and they've gone out there and they got a 10-shot lead and there's just no chance anybody else winning the tournament? You're like, I'm going to click it off, watch something else. This is boring. But the team event kind of keeps it alive. Every shot counts. And it's just like watching golf on a Friday afternoon on the Golf Channel. Who's going to make the cut, right? Well, this is who's going to win the team, even if you're not contending. You know, that Pat Perez, if he birdies that last hole, even though he's six over par for the tournament, their team wins. So it gives you know, you're always playing for something, and that's, I think, what LIV Golf's trying to do.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida. We were live from our 19th hole clubhouse studios, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, on this 17th of September, right across from Tropicana Field. Conversation from Charlotte, North Carolina, with John Rieger, the wisdom of this production each and every Saturday. I got a question as far as team play, and I like Pat Perez. You know, he's kind of full of himself for a guy who, you know, he had an average career. But he's pretty full of himself. He's got a, you know, stunning wife. But, you know, if he's not carrying his weight, man, you know, a putt here, a putt there, can they trade for other players? Can they swap? I mean, in the offseason, are they going to sit down and go, dude, you're dragging us down. DJ's got to step up every time, and you, every 18 holes, we might be able to count on you for one freaking putt.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see because I know that, and we talked about this on the show before, about what happens to some of these people that just played once or twice. Well, some of them gone back to the DP Tour, the European Tour, okay, and there's still a lawsuit going on in a court injunction where even though the PGA Tour owns now 40% of the DP European Tour. The courts over there are not allowing them to ban LIV golfers, so there's a little lawsuit. So a little different thing goes on in this country. Hey, I just got an update here from one of our listeners. You know, I'm up in Charlotte, so Wild Bill's not here, but Wild Bill just sent me a very important fact about redheaded golfers. Redhead golfers or redhead people in general have generally less hair than, you know, so the next step is bald. So I didn't know that either.
Damn,
so
my hair's
Wild
going
Bill
red.
For that, thanks for that tidbit of information. You know, Bill's got an interesting backyard. He's got about 15 acres back there, and he actually built himself a little backyard golf course. It's pretty cool. He's got real pins and cups, and you use real golf clubs and balls, and they go out there, and he has the PGA Championship every year. So if Bill's listening, shout out to Bill, and thanks for the redheaded golfer tip.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Next up, we're going to start talking about the bald-headed stepchilds as the next level down. So after redheaded, we're going bald.
Don't be staring at me like that. Hey, Wild Bill, we appreciate you listening, my man up there. But when are we going to get an invitation? We might have to take this road
show. I want to see those 15 acres, baby.
I want to be up there for the BGA. What's the Beach Golf Association? What is it?
Well, we'll talk about further. That we might have to go interview Wild Bill one Saturday on that because it's very unique. Yes, he's a very unique individual. The Backyard Golf Association is very unique, and you know, came about during the pandemic when you couldn't go anywhere or do anything. So, you know, he created his own golf course out there. So, kudos to Bill for that. Hey, let's talk about now the you know, what's going to happen with golf in 2023, with the PGA Tour, with all this money coming in and all these
hold that thought. I'm gonna take care of some sponsors again, getting adjusted to.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, come on! You don't want to listen to me badly. You want to hear the.
Yeah, hold that.
We want to hear where we can eat and drink and have a good time.
Well, you got to get down here first, brother. I'll take damn good care of you. You'll have cigars and you'll have. Liqueurs and craft beers and you got a lovely, beautiful wife.
It's going to cut into the profits, Rick. Mike, it's going to cut into the profits.
Yeah, well, we'll worry about that later. Right now, we just want to make sure that we keep you on the airwaves of On the Tee Florida. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll finish the show, and John will get us updated on the 2023 season and all the changes that are going to take place from a tournament and a financial perspective here on the Tee Florida.
18 holes never felt so
good.
We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Tampa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Tampa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Tampa Bay, barbwithtampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134. This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Tampa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Tampa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Tampa Bay, barbwithtampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee here at our On the Tee Florida at our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, where we are perched out back of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in downtown St. Petersburg on a unique day. It's a lot drier than last week, my man. When we had the mini monsoon down here at 13th and Central. Today, 4:10, first pitch, Texas Rangers, and of course, the Tampa Bay Rays as they battle for that wild card spot. Speaking of a wild card and a wild man and a great friend and supporter of On the Tee, of course, it is John Rieger. And so where were you, my man? 2023, a lot of changes.
Well, you know, one of the things I always enjoy being on the show every week is doing a little show prep and, you know, reading up about the latest news and updates on the world of golf, reading some opinions. Keeps your mind active. So for our listeners out there, you know, you're going to hear things in this show that hopefully aren't too boring, but that might give you a little insight on golf and a chance to, if you really follow golf and you really love golf and eat and sleep and drink the game of golf, hopefully we'll give you some stuff here that you're not wasting your time. You're going to enjoy listening to some of the information we get. One of the things I was doing getting ready for the show is looking at an article by Adam Shupak. He's a golf writer for Golf Week, and they have a really nice website out there, and they really cover a lot of things in depth in golf that you wouldn't get on your normal headlines at other you know, golf websites and things. So, you know, what he's reporting is that the way it's going to work in 2023 is that the best players, the top players in the world, have agreed to play one another in a minimum of 20 events throughout the year. And that's why they're doing some of these events where they're adding insane amount of money to the purse, no-cut events, and also adding a lot of money that has nothing to do with them playing but has to do with the player impact program we've talked about previously on the shows, where, you know, how many Facebook followers you have and, you know, what kind of impact are you having out there with media impressions and all those kind of things all wrapped together. So what they'll do is at the end of the season, between January and August, the end of August, and the way I'm reading this is, so at the end of 2023, the end of the season will actually be August, you know, right after the FedEx Cup playoffs, and the top 70, okay, retain their cards for the next season. Now, right now, this year, is the top 125. And, in fact, there were five golfers that went to LIV Golf that aren't coming back to the PGA Tour. So the guys that were 126 to 130 got in now. They're in the top 125. One of the players, I remember us following him close, and he had double bogeyed the last hole to miss the cut by one shot in the final event of the year, which put him at 126. And he was kind of despondent about it. But then when Live Golf was calculated, they took those five players off. They moved everybody up. And lo and behold, this guy was in the top 125, just like Ricky Fowler got into the top 125 for that also. So now what happens to the next people up to 125? Well, here's what happens is they will still have, I was looking into this, they will still have these fall wraparound events, but they're not going to have, they're not going to award FedEx Cup points for them. Okay, so... So what happens is if you're safe in the top 70, you're not going to go play in that if you don't want to, September through December. And that's the way it used to be on the PGA Tour. You get past Labor Day, you know, there's a couple tournaments left here and there, and you would take it off, which sometimes that's good for everybody's family life, mental health, bodies, you know, wear and tear, things like that. So you're going to have these fields that they're going to be buying to keep their cards, so it should stay competitive, but you might not have the top players in the world competing in that range to 125. And they'll still have the Korn Ferry Tour and award cards and things like that. So that's a big difference. And so if you look at this week, you know, you've got like five of the top 30 players in the world playing in the Fortinet Championship right now. You know, Max Homa leading. He's one of them, okay? So I don't know. Maybe they're planning that to, you know, stay sharp for the President's Cup, but it may be a whole new landscape. And I was reading your article, and lo and behold, you know, I felt kind of funny because, you know, in this woke day and age, it's using the term redheaded stepchild, you know, we'll all get in trouble for that with the redheaded, you know, golfers of the world. But it's right there.
Bring them on.
He quotes, "Fall events have always been the redheaded stepchildren, aired exclusively on the Golf Channel during the time of year when college football and the NFL rule the roost." So there you go. There you go, Mike. You know, your great minds think alike. You're right on the same page. You are dialed in, ear to the rail.
Yeah, I certainly am. Hey, one thing I did that's a little off topic as far as PGA, I was doing a little research. You'd be impressed. And the number one golfer NCAA is Ludvig Åberg from Texas Tech. And I guess my question is, how the heck did the national champion Texas Longhorns not get him? My next question is, why does Florida not have dominant golf teams collegiately? You look at Oklahoma State. You look at you know, Austin's a nice town. Texas Tech, you know, I've been to all those communities. Not impressive. Florida is water. All these great things going on. What's the deal here, Floridian?
I have the answer for this. All right, and what it is, if you look at football. And you look at the practice facilities that they have in football, like the Gators just opened an $85 million state-of-the-art, you know, they have cryogenic chambers there, and they've got, you should see their team training table. I mean, it looks like a gourmet buffet restaurant. I mean, it's incredible. Okay, so the University of Florida had to do that. Why? Because they had to recruit. Well, if you look at golf, it's the same exact way. What's happening is these schools, not only do they have one home course, they might have four home courses that the school owns. And each one of these golf courses, they have world-class practice facilities. And they have, you know, so what happens is these kids who are recruited to the Division I schools, most of them are already from, like, they call that the Rolex Junior Tour. It's very rare that somebody gives a school scholarship on a Division I school powerhouse. And they didn't play on the Rolex Junior Golf Tour. You know, the Rolex Junior Golf Tour, the reason it's sponsored by Rolex is because these parents spend $60,000 to $80,000 a year just sending their kids around the country, get to fly everywhere and stay in nice hotels and these nice resorts to play in the tournament. So it's an interesting thing. So at University of Florida, they're kind of landlocked. They've got a beautiful golf course. I mean, it's a Bobby Weed redesign there. But you know what? Their practice facility, you know, it rains. When it rains hard, it floods out. Can't practice there. So throughout the years, you know, and they've got a great golf coach there. And so what happens is to recruit players, well, you know, these players, you know, Auburn and Georgia, you know, Vanderbilt, they all have multiple golf courses, world-class practice facilities. And University of Florida, it's nice. But they can't keep up with that. They can't keep up. And if you're a golfer, yeah, you may want to come to University of Florida because you've got one of the best coaches out there. You've got one of the best, you know, climates to play golf in. But guess what? It's truly now. I remember when I played college golf, they gave us, you know, at the College of Charleston. Now, you know, we didn't have the biggest budget in the world, but, you know, we were a sports college. You know, we were the Harvard or the South. So all the other players going in for practice rounds usually on Saturdays, they'd be bringing beer and chips into the room to watch their team, you know, their school's football team play. We didn't have a football team. We had to bring our books in and study. So if you take a look at, you look at recruitment, you look at players, you look at what lures them to the school, well, golf has become such a game now that the budget for these teams, they fly on private jets. They have their own Mercedes-Benz team transports. But the University of Florida just does not have the practice facility that's needed to make it work. So, you know, with that in mind, I think that you're going to have to up their game. And the rumor is, while Bill told me this the other day, the rumor is, since I moved out of town, that he heard that they might be building a new golf course for University of Florida. So that's good news. I hope it is. And that should help in recruiting to get them back to national prominence because they haven't been in the picture of discussion since Billy Horschel and Committee of Vajagas. They just haven't been in the discussion.
Well, I'm Florida State, you know. I had Brooks Koepka, but they haven't really dominated either. I mean, you think between the two schools, they'd make a significant dent, but it's OSU, Texas. It's kind of amazing. Now we got the number one player in the NCAA at Texas Tech.
Well, there is a lot of parity in college golf, and it is wonderful to watch. And just like I was telling you about Golf Week, they're probably the number one publication that covers college golf. They actually have a college golf rankings. They rank the teams, and like the world golf rankings for the PGA Tour and European Tours, they have they rank college golf programs, college golfers, both men and women. So it's an excellent way to keep up with college golf because these are the future tour pros. So, young man, you just mentioned there from Texas Tech. Well, you know what? You'll probably see him out there on one of those tours not too long from now. So it's always good to keep up with the young talent.
All right, my man, we're winding down. One last question. Well, I figured you already would have edited this. Is it minus 15 or 15 under when you're doing the leaderboard?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Leaderboards have evolved, and it used to be that they would put up on the scoreboard how you did to par on that hole. And so what happened was is that you want me to give you a yes or no answer on that one?
Yes.
So, you know what? I always call it 15 under versus minus 15.
Well, we got to...
Is it acceptable, though?
It's acceptable either way. But, you know, 15 under par is like a golf term. Minus 15, it sounds like algebra.
Exactly. All right, my man, you have a great weekend up there in Charlotte with your daughter and the rich tradition that is. Charlotte, I love that town. And, in fact, in Boone, North Carolina, game day was there today for Appalachia State after their success. So enjoy those 60-degree temperatures. I do miss them. So does the Big O in Michigan. And we will talk to you next weekend here on the T Florida, man.
All right, take care, everybody.
All right, so he gave you his blessing.
He did.
He gave you a pass.
It's fair.
He knows I need you around because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. He gets concerned about what I'm doing down here. He knows that the gamer will be keeping an eye on me. All right, well, we got through this show, young man. We're dry. That's a positive day in downtown St. Pete from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.